Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. Yeah, lovely to hear the buzz as we come to worship Almighty God. I'm delighted to welcome everyone here this morning to our worship, including if you're worshiping with us from solid ground. I trust that you will enjoy worshiping together. If you happen to be visiting with us, you're also very welcome, and I trust that you will enjoy our fellowship this morning. As usual, tea and coffee is available following the service in a solid ground cafe, and that's just round the back for those that are unaware. Being the beginning of September, we now have an announcement sheet for each week going forward, and I would ask you to take time to read through that and just to see if there's anything there that's of significance or relevance for yourself. I just want to highlight two small announcements. Firstly, the annual leaders training is tomorrow evening and the following Monday evening in Clochay. Tomorrow evening's here in Gray Abbey at 7:30 p.m. in the upper room. And the details of those that we're asking to attend that and the subjects that we'll be covering is included in your announcements. So please have a read through that and please try to attend if you fall into that. And the other one I've been asked to mention is that you'll see in the announcements, the primary school is having a big breakfast and car wash on Saturday the 14th of September and in the morning. And they're looking for some help with the washing of cars for that. And I'm told there's a sheet in the welcome area if you can add your name to that, if you're able to help for even for part of the time. So thank you. As we come to worship God this morning, beginning of September is traditionally the new season for the church. So yesterday it was lovely that we had our 12 hours of prayer both in Gray Abbey and in Clochay. And this morning as well, later in the service, we will be celebrating communion together as a church family. And that's just a wonderful way to start off the church season. Also, with the start of the new season, we have a new theme this morning that we'll be looking at over the next few weeks, and that's Living Christianity. Neil will set the context for this a little bit later in the service of why we're looking at this particular area going forward. And today, we're looking at Living Christianity within society. So with that in mind, let's come to our call to worship, which will be up on the screen. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among the people. And I think it would be lovely if we were maybe to say that together. So can I ask you, if you're able to please stand, and we'll say it together, and then we'll go straight into our first praise, which is Hosanna, praise is rising. So please stand. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among the people.
Oh, peace, yeah.
As we come to pray to God this morning, the first prayer is that we want to acknowledge who God is. We want to seek his forgiveness and ask his blessing upon us for the service and for what he has to say to us this morning. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today with praise and adoration in our hearts for who you are. We thank you that you are an awesome, loving, compassionate God who has loved us in so many real ways. Individually and as a church family, help us to respond with the sole purpose of honoring, worshiping, and praising the God who saves us and the God who is worthy of all our praises in a manner that is both pleasing and acceptable to you. Lord, as believers, we often let you down and fall far short of your perfect holiness and will for us. No matter how hard we try, we frequently disappoint you by not always doing the things you want us to do. Forgive us for the times when we allow our worldly activities to take priority and for not viewing all we do in life through the light of Jesus. So just now, in a moment of silence, we humbly confess our sins to you. Lord, we ask that by your Holy Spirit, you will help us to resist temptation, saying no to sin, but instead saying yes to righteousness in all areas of our lives. Lord, though we often waver in our commitment and obedience to you, we are so thankful that you never waver in your commitment to us. Help us to realize that in serving you, we are involved in something more important than ourselves, something bigger than any of our problems, and something higher than our pursuit of pleasure. Help us to appreciate that a life worth living is found in trusting only you. We acknowledge that your love didn't just find a way for sinners to be reconciled to you, it led the way. At Calvary, you showed an amazing sign of your wonderful goodness while suffering the most awful affliction, so that we might receive your divine gift of salvation. Lord, thank you. So as we worship you today, Lord, we ask that you will open our eyes, open the eyes of our hearts, helping us to see that in Christ you have given us every spiritual blessing. Bless us as we take communion together as a church family, and as we look at how we can be salt and light as we live out our Christianity. Be with Neil as he unwraps your word and help us to apply your word to our lives so that we can show Christ's values and his love in the communities you have placed us. In Jesus' name we ask all of this. Amen. Let us now turn to God's word. We'll find that in Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to read today verses 13 to 16. And this is part of Sermon on the Mount. And they are the words of Jesus that he has spoken to us. Although there are four short verses, they have a lot to say to us. So let us read God's word, starting at verse 13, Matthew 5. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Amen. And we're going to sing and praise God again with the children's hymn, Praise Him on the Trumpet. And then at the end of this singing, the children can leave for K4C.
Praise Him on the trumpet, the psaltery and harp. Praise Him on the timbrel and the dance. Praise Him with string instruments too.
It's lovely to see in God's house. It's lovely to be here. This is it. Day one, new season. Summer's over. All excited about new ministries. Oof. This will get a better response. All excited about getting kids back to school. All the teachers? Not so much. Another week of holidays would have done you all right, but we're back. We're back as the church season, as all of those seasons, of all of those normal things come back into place, but of course, we meet to worship a God who is anything but normal. He is extraordinary. Shall we pray? Let's pray together. Lord, we do thank you for the opportunity to give our lives in service of you, to give our tithes and our offerings for your kingdom. And Lord, as we meet here and worship you today, Lord, we are blessed to have this building, blessed to have this fellowship, blessed to have the ministries that we have in our congregation. And Lord, our offerings make this possible. It keeps our buildings in good condition, makes them welcoming for people to come in, keeps them safe, keeps us warm in the wintertime, dry when it's raining. And Lord, we just thank you for that. But our money does more than that, Lord. It helps us to spread the good news of the gospel in this village and in the surrounding area. It helps us too, Lord, to take the gospel to places where we will never go, places that we can't go, places where you don't call us to go, but you call others to go. So, Lord, we thank you that because we give today, that people around the world will hear about Jesus. And, Lord, as surely as we meet today, people need to hear about Jesus. people in our country, people who are closest to us, people who are in very dark places, dark countries, facing persecution, in the middle of the ravages of war, famine. Lord, people who are afraid to go out of their homes because of the situation of the society in which they live. So Lord, we pray that your gospel would leave this place today in us and through us, in our offering and through that offering, and through the ministries of this church, so that people here and around the world would know that Jesus is alive, that Jesus reigns, that Jesus is the light that we all need in our lives. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Thought that song was never going to end. Thought he was going to be in here at about 2 o'clock. Thank you, Heather. Folks, we start a new series for the autumn today called Living Christianity. And there's a clue in the title, and there's a word there that I want to focus on for a moment to start, and the word is living. Living Christianity. So that tells us we're talking about something, not something that's dead, but something that is alive. Something that is living, breathing, moving, active. I mean, you all in this room are alive. Quiet. It's early in the sermon, folks. I expect a wee bit more sort of awakeness. You may have to give somebody a nudge later on. But you're all alive. You're all living, breathing, active, moving. We're talking about something living today. But as we talk about living Christianity, that does not apply to every physical being in this room. Because this study, this series, is about people, and it applies to people who are spiritually alive. Not just physically alive, but spiritually alive. We can read a little bit about this spiritual aliveness. That's not a right word, but you know what I mean. In Ephesians chapter 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world. The world is dead in its sins. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following the desires and the thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. So the world is dark, it is sinful, it is the object of God's wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Alive with Christ. When we were dead in our transgressions, it is by grace that you have been saved. It is by grace that you've been made alive in Christ. It is through that grace that you become a living Christian. Not just a living being, but a living Christian. Someone who knows what it's like to live in that world of darkness and all the stuff that goes on in that world. And you know what it's like then to have that light in your life, to be made alive, to have Jesus in your life, to understand who Jesus is and what he has done for you. And to know what it's like to have the Holy Spirit within you. To know and have the assurance that when this life is over, you're going to get to heaven. There's a place reserved for you there because you are alive in Christ. We're not there yet. We're here on earth. So you have this desire as a living Christian to live in obedience to all that God has written down in this book for us. Living Christianity is not just a sermon series. It is a study. Our lives, alive in Christ, in every area of our life, would affect all of the lives around us. All of those people still living under God's wrath would be affected by our living Christianity. The book has 5 studies. Today we're going to be looking at society, and then we'll look at the world, what it means to be a living Christian there, a living Christian in work, what it means to be a living Christian in the variety of relationships that we have, and what it means to be citizens. In the study, it's a usual layout. There's a question at the start to focus your mind, to get you zoned in. There's a video clip which is about 12 or 15 minutes long, which really helps you to unpack and prepare for the Bible study. So this week, the Bible study will be on salt and light. And then there are some questions. Then there's a time of prayer. And then there's a little thought provoker before you leave that study. As always, we have additional books. We have books for all of your groups. So if you're in a discipleship group, your leader has your book. But as always, there's some people who can't make it to a group, and they have some spares. There's some out in the vestibule and some around at Solid Ground. Now, this book will certainly help you unpack what we're talking about today and what God is saying. But this book will be best studied in a group. The video is important to what God is saying. And if you're not in a group, we have groups meeting on Wednesday and Thursday evenings, Tuesday and Thursday mornings. Come and speak to me about a group. If you're not in a group, we'd love to place you in one so that you can study God's word. And as I said down in Clockey, if you're sitting there going, oh, well, Wednesday doesn't suit me, and a Thursday night doesn't suit me, a Tuesday or Thursday morning doesn't suit me, come and tell me. Because our Tuesday morning group started with two women, and now there's six or seven in it. So there might be two people that can meet at another time. That's the start of a group. So just don't be ruling yourself out of a group because these slots don't suit you. And why are we studying this, living Christianity? Well, we're studying it because God is calling us to mission. Mission 2020. You're going to start hearing a lot about Mission 2020. From January through to July, we believe God has called us to go out into the world, into the society in which we live, and share this good news of the gospel, and try and draw alongside people in their lives that are walking away from God, and let's get them on that path to God. Because you see, as a living Christian, you live in a society. Unless you're a hermit, unless you live in the middle of nowhere, your society might just be a clump of houses in some of the valleys between the villages on the peninsula, those town lands. You all live in a society, you work somewhere, you go to school somewhere. And in that life, we have this ongoing balance. This has been an age-old balance. Every generation has had to try and work this out, how we live in society. We've got to be in the world, but not off the world. In the world, but not off the world. We're not off this world because Peter says, dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. So we're temporary residents and foreigners. The moment you gave your life to Jesus, your British passport really means nothing as far as spirituality is concerned, or your Irish passport. You're not a British citizen, you're not an Irish citizen, you're not a Northern Ireland citizen, you're not even a citizen of this world. You don't belong here anymore. Your home is in heaven. But we're not there yet. That's what Paul says in Philippians, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are temporary residents. He's going to change this place. He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. But this is where we live. But when Jesus prayed for his disciples before he ascended up into heaven, he prayed to the Father, Father, I'm not going to pray that you would take them from this place. I'm going to pray that you would protect them in this place. See, even Jesus knew that we weren't going to be removed with him. We're going to have to stay here because there's purpose for us. There's a plan for us here on earth as followers of Jesus. And the plan, and it's simple. You don't have to go very far to look for it. Just go to Matthew 28. Jesus said to those disciples, go and make disciples of all nations, all societies around the world. Go and make disciples, he said. And because he hasn't returned, that is now our commission. That is our command. This is what we are to be about as living Christians. The New Testament, there's lots of the letters there that describe how we can make this command a reality, how we can fulfill this commission. Peter says, live such good lives amongst the pagans. Though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. So we are to live such a good type of life. We're to live a different type of life, not following the desires and the cravings of the world, but following and living in obedience to the word of God. And even when people say things bad about us, our life will only result in them praising God. Jesus commands them, see those people who might accuse us? What does Jesus say we're to do? Pray for them. Pray for those who persecute you. We're going to look at that next week in Matthew 5. That's when we look at the world and what the world thinks of us. Galatians, we're told that as we have opportunity, we are to do good to all people. So even if these people are persecuting us and saying all nasty kinds of things about us, we don't just simply sit back and, oh Lord, pray for them. We pray for them, Lord, you go out and do something. No, we have to go out and actually help them and show love and kindness and grace to them. This is how we are to make disciples of all nations. And when we have the opportunity, as Paul writes in Ephesians, speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. Personal interaction and engagement with all kinds of people. Paul writes in that passage, if you speak the truth in love, you will become closer to Jesus. He is the head of the body, and that body is held together. It is bound together. It is strengthened, and it is built up as each part does its work. Yeah, each part. Every living Christian has a part to play in going and making disciples of all societies. We live in this world. We're not off it. We don't belong here, but we're here. Our role is to make disciples. We do that by living a type of life that we find in the Bible. We do it by praying for ourselves and for other people. We do it by doing good for those people, showing acts of love and kindness and mercy and speaking the truth to them about Jesus. We are simply to have a positive influence in society. And that influence will ultimately point people to God. Jesus sums that up in this passage in Matthew chapter 5 when he talks about being salt and light. We make disciples in our society by being salt and light. Verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. Now we know that salt was used in those days. They didn't have fridges or freezers, so they used salt to preserve their meat. They got their meat and they got the salt on it and they rubbed the salt into every part of it. And so we are to be rubbed into society to preserve it. The salt stops the meat from rotting and decaying. But salt does another job too. It seasons, doesn't it? It takes something tasty and makes it even tastier. Too much of it clogs your arteries, so be careful. Salt preserves. Salt flavors. It makes something good even better. And we are to be the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Light lets us see where we're going. It helps us find our way. It helps us to move around safely in the midst of darkness. As living Christians, we are to preserve society using biblical salt. We are that salt. We are to be the living Bible in our society, preserving that which is good, stopping the rot and decay. We're to promote the Bible and tell people that if they season their life with biblical salt, that their life will be better. Your life might be okay as a non-Christian, but it'll be so much better as a Christian. And we live our lives. We don't always know where we're going or how we're going to get there, but we have assurance that God is lighting the way for us, and we should communicate that. We should be contributing a salt and light in our society. And we should be doing that through those big issues. You know those big, scary issues that are out there? We do it individually, one-to-one, with people that we meet along the way. But we do it in these big social issues. There's some big ones out there at the moment. Gender, sexuality, morality, marriage, how life starts, how life ends. We should contribute, rubbing ourselves in to those discussions, seasoning them with salt, bringing light to them, all from the Bible. We do it by promoting a lifestyle that is biblical, not following the patterns of the world, but staying true to living according to the Bible. We do this in conversation, when we talk to people, at work, or at home, or at school. Everyone in this room who knows and loves Jesus, this is your responsibility. Making disciples is not just for old people. It's for the youngest in this room. The youngest in this room today are probably 12 years of age. This, if you love Jesus, this is your responsibility. You are salt and you are light in Christ. We help those who oppose us. You see, we live in days where if I don't agree with someone else, then we are in opposition. We have lost this ability to agree to disagree. But even when people disagree with us, we offer help. Put the differences aside. And in all of this, we point people to God. Verse 16. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father who is in heaven. We are to be in this world, in this society, living as salt and light. But I want us to understand the limitations of our salt and light living. If you watch the news or read newspapers or follow things online or have discussions at school or in the workplace, there are lots of issues, lots of topics. You will meet lots of people with lots of different attitudes from what we read about in the Bible. And you can take every one of those, as diverse as all of those discussions are, and you can boil them down, you can reduce them, you can strip them all back, and you get to the one common denominator, and that's sin. It is sinfulness that takes all of these discussions, regardless of what the topic is, away from God. And we are not going to defeat sin in our society. That is a limitation on us. We can't do that. It is not our job to defeat sin. God will defeat sin. When Jesus returns, sin will be completely wiped out. Sometimes we can get a bit frustrated because we speak into a situation and we see it ends and then it rears its head again and we think, were we defeated? What was the sense in all of that? Think, for example, about slavery. Abolished in 1833. And the statistics today are not very definitive, actually. But they reckon there are tens of thousands of people in the UK, not around the world, in the UK, bound to slavery. We don't call it slavery today, of course. We call it people trafficking. People promised one thing, brought to a country, and they're doing something very, very different. You see, the sin that causes enslaving has not gone away, and it won't go away. But as salt and light, then, do we say, well, if we can't stop it, do we not get involved? No, we should be active. And any of these issues that are occurring, any of these issues that are reoccurring, it was godly, living Christian people who abolished slavery. And there are many godly, living Christian people who are working in people trafficking, trying to redeem people out of that. Because that is what we do. Yes, we're out trying to stop biblical injustice. We want to help people live better lives. We want to help people get out of difficult and dark situations. But living salt and light helps people. That is our focus. People, not sin, but people and the effects that sin have on their lives. Our job is to be salt and light, to help them be removed from sinful effects, to help them recover from the effects that sin has had on their life. And today, at the start, I said that you're all living beings because you're moving, you're breathing, you're growing, you're active. But you know, we have living beings today who are not breathing. We have living beings who are not yet born. And our society wants to dehumanize them until they're born. So should we be active in that? Absolutely. Our moderator has called us to go to Stormont on Friday the 6th of September at 7 p.m. to be dressed in black for a silent protest, to join people, to say, this is not right. This is not God's plan. These living, growing, active beings that are in mothers' bellies are living. They might not be breathing at this stage, but they're living. We should be active. We should be ready for those conversations. To speak to people who've been affected by this particular type of sinfulness and all other types of sinfulness. And then when we get this in our minds that we're not trying to eradicate sin, but we're trying to help people, then this slide changes. But it might seem a bit contradictory. But in the context, it's not. As we live as salt and light, thinking about people's lives, what we can be as salt and light is limitless. You see, there's not a life out there that is so dark, that is so removed from God, that it cannot be redeemed. There is no situation in anyone's life that cannot be forgiven. God's power is more powerful than the darkness of this world. Psalm 139 tells us, darkness is not dark to God. The night is like day because darkness is as light to God. God is the light. God the Son tells us that. John 8, I am the light of the world. But not only is Jesus the light of the world, he says, he who follows me will not walk in darkness. So if you're a living Christianity, you're not fumbling around in the dark. You have the light of Jesus in you. Because he says, you will have the light of life. Other passages tell us that you can come out of darkness into that light. You become children of light. In our passage today, Jesus doesn't suggest that you might be. He says, you are the light of the world. And when sin entered this world became dark. Now, not physically dark, but spiritually. It became spiritually dark. And today, it is still spiritually dark. I'll illustrate it. I don't know if you've ever been in this building at night, in the middle of the night, or really late on. It's dark. Or some building, or your own house. You move around at night, it is pitch black. But I know that a building like this, if there was up in the center one single 60-watt lamp, light bulb, it would give you enough light to see it in this building, to move around. One little light can defeat the darkness of this whole room. Then what happens when you make your way out into the store and you reach for the switches and you start putting on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You can be in this building in pitch darkness outside, but inside the building it's like daylight because the light has defeated the darkness. Light eradicates darkness. You couldn't come into this room and say, it's too bright, I'll turn up the darkness. You turn off the light. This world, folks, is dark. And living Christians are the light. More light will remove those sinful effects and help people recover from the sin that is hammering them. We are that light. We are to shine brightly, by the way. More light into people's lives who are consumed by darkness will point people to God, to our Heavenly Father. And when people begin to understand who God is and what his plan for creation is, then they will get to understand who Jesus is. Because our society, yeah, it needs us to shine that light, but it's the light of Jesus. Our society needs Jesus. Folks, I learned from a very, very young age that when you're at the front of the church and the minister's asking you a question, you don't know the answer, just say Jesus. Because 90% of the time, that's going to be right. Yeah. You see, in life, Jesus is right 100% of the time. He is the answer to the world's problems. You see, he was the one that has paid for sin. Every sin in the world, Jesus has paid for it. He is greater than that sin. The sin is not greater than him. He is greater than it. He conquered the death that came because of it. Rose gloriously. And he's going to return and wipe sin out completely. Make a new heaven and a new earth. And if you're here today and you don't have Jesus, I want to assure you that there is no darkness in your life. There's no sin that Jesus can't deal with. There's nothing that you can't be forgiven for. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. He loved you enough to die for you. We're going to remember that in a moment or two. But I want to assure you of this from my understanding of God's word. If he comes back and you haven't moved from darkness to light, your eternity will be darker than you can imagine. If you think the worst situation that you've ever been in or that you've seen someone else in, that's nothing compared compared to the unimaginable darkness of eternity. But Jesus came so that you wouldn't have to face that. And if you're here today and you have that light within you, all we want to say to you today is shine. Shine, not as a dim light, as a bright light. Be prepared. Get the study. Get it read. Get into the Word. Go out into that world, into this society, and have those conversations. Now, you don't have to be involved in every issue. Be involved in the ones that you're passionate about. Be involved in the ones that you can understand. There's issues that people are talking about, folks, and I'm telling you, that's clean over my head. And I just pray that there's more intelligent people or people with other gifts and passions to speak into those, because none of us can speak into all of these issues. I mean, for me, one of the issues that I'm really passionate about is marriage, having conducted about a million of them this summer. Being married myself. I love marriage. There's a program on TV this week. It's going to promote three-way marriages. Now, normally when you see something like that, that's one man married to two women. Not right, man. A man once told me one woman is God's plenty. Don't say amen, men. Don't say amen. But this marriage is different. Now, I'm not sure what this marriage is, but it's three people. It could be three women or a man and two women or somewhere. All married together. Three of them standing, making vows together. So why not four or five or six? Why not a community? Why not come next Sunday and we'll all be married together? That's just your thoughts about being married to me. But this is what's going to be on the TV this week, folks. It's already been on the radio, and the girl that was doing it said, oh, it was just such a lovely thing to experience. Not according to this. So you find the things that you're passionate about. Read about them. I'll watch that program to see what they're saying. I'll be prepared for that conversation should I ever have it. So go and find out about it. And guess what? Those will be the things that you read about in the Bible that you can remember and are passionate about. I have a theology degree, and I'm not passionate about Genesis to Revelation in equal measure. I'm passionate about God's Word, but there's parts of it just make me come alive more than others. There'll be the parts that you come alive when you read it. Those are the parts that God wants you to take out into the world. He has placed that passion on your heart. Now, folks, we're doing this Bible study. We're in this sermon series so that we can be prepared for 2020. But here's the truth. We may never see 2020. You may never see 2020. 2019 might be something that goes into gold up the Ballywalter Road on a black piece of stone. That's the truth. Or Jesus might return before 2020 starts. And I, for one, don't want to be sitting whenever Jesus returns and they say, Neil, how were you shining your light today? And I'll say, oh, but Jesus, we're waiting for 2020. Look, you don't see the posters. If you had waited another couple of months, we'd have been all over this. Folks, we're to be all over this today. Today, tomorrow, and the next day, shining. Paul says, shining like stars in the universe. Shining the truth, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, to people who really, really need it. Let's not forget that Jesus is coming back and we should be shining when he does. Let's not forget why he came in the first place. We're going to come to the Lord's table. But before we do, we're going to sing this hymn. We're going to stand to do so. And this hymn is Be Still for the Presence of Our Lord. So let's sing this hymn prayerfully. God has been speaking today. As we sing, ask him what he wants you to do. What has he been saying to you? Let's stand together and sing. Bow before Our invitation to the Lord's table is, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, and happy are those who take refuge in him. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. We meet here today as a congregation of the Church of Jesus Christ. He has prepared this table. Because of him, we can stand with these elements today. This act of remembrance are for those who love him and trust in him, who are sorry for their sins, who believe that Jesus is their own true and personal Savior. These people who come to this table today have a desire to live in obedience as living Christians every day in every area of their lives. If that's you, you're invited to come to the Lord's table today. If you're visiting with us and you're from a church that believes those things that I have just said, then you're invited. Our table is open. Come and join and have fellowship with us. You may not be a member of a congregation, but you do know and love the Lord Jesus Christ as your own true and personal Savior. Then you come and eat and drink with us. The words of institution we get from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, when he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. So a person ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. So we have an invitation and we also have a warning. We have got to be right before we come to this table. We do that in prayer. Let's come before God now in prayer as we prepare our hearts. Lord God, we thank you for making us in your image. And Lord, we thank you that in our brokenness, you have made it possible for us to be restored to that perfect image. We thank you, Lord, for the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ alone. We thank you for his work on the cross, for your power that raised him from the dead, who broke him out of that tomb. And we thank you, Lord, for the scriptures that tell us what Christ has done, and the scriptures that tell us what that means for us. And we thank you, Lord, for the scriptures that tell us your Spirit moves amongst us, convicting us of sin and drawing us to Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you for the faith that you have given us to believe in something that we did not see, but something that we can experience. Believing in a Savior that we have not yet met. And as we consider all that he has done for us, Lord, considering what you are doing in us, making us perfect, we recognize we're not yet perfect. So we come humbly, we come reverently to this your table. And we come confessing to you, Lord, the sins that stop us being like our Savior Jesus. The things that we have thought, the bitterness that we're harboring, the things that we've done, the things that we've not done. All of those things, Lord, that are those sins that are still in our lives. Lord, as we take a moment now just with you, Lord, we ask that you would pour out your forgiveness upon us. And Lord, as we meet to worship you, may we be filled with the certainty of forgiveness, the certainty of our salvation, the certainty of your Spirit's presence with us. And we pray, Lord, that we would feel his presence as we remember through the bread and the wine, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. I'm going to invite the members of Kirk Session to come up as we begin now to distribute the elements. As we think about that night when Jesus was in the upper room, the night of his arrest, and he took bread, and he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Not simply died for us, but broken for us, taking the punishment that we deserved. He says, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Jesus didn't do this for himself. He did it for us. He says, do this in remembrance of me. Jesus said, this is my body which was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, Jesus then took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood that was shed for the forgiveness of your sins. So whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. Jesus said, this is the new covenant blood that was shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son's church, our Savior, Jesus Christ. You have fed us today with spiritual food in this sacrament as we have remembered the body and the blood of Jesus through bread and wine. Send us now, Lord, out into this world in peace, into the society where you have placed us. Give us strength and courage to go into that world and love all who we meet, to serve you by shining the light of the gospel into the lives of those who need it. Help us, Lord, to serve with gladness and singleness of heart. Help us, Lord, to do so in unity with Spirit and with each other. And Lord God, we ask now that you would unite us as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We're going to finish our service this morning by singing, Here I Am, Wholly Available. Now, we're not singing that we're going to be holy, H-O-L-Y. We are holy. God has made us holy. Holiness is in us. It's, how do they always look? W-H-O-L-L-Y. Entirely. All of us, every part of us available as we go out through that door. Let's think about the words that we're singing here as we worship God. Let's stand together and sing. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain on each of us, both now and forevermore. Amen.